I tell you, he's amazing. So amazing. You know, he says, remember the Sabbath and set it apart. Remember him as our creator, as our provider. That's what we come here to do this morning, to remember what he done for us. He's so good to us. And we're on our in our teaching on the Sabbath. And we're on week 3. It says Yeshua preaches on the Sabbath, Luke 4:16-30. But before we start on that, I want to read, turn with me to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, and starting with verse 24. As I was just going through the different, watching different things and going through a study, this scripture came to mind. It says, and I shall take you from among the nations, and I shall gather you out of all lands, and I shall bring you into your own land, and I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I cleanse you. And, you know, you might say, well, I don't have no idols. Anything you put above him, anything you put before him is an idol. Is an idol. But he said, I'll cleanse you from all that. I cleanse y'all from all those pagan holidays. I cleanse you from all that. I shall give you a new heart. I'm so thankful. And put a new spirit within you. And I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh. And what's that heart of stone? That heart of stone is rebellious, resistance to the truth, to his Torah. But he said, and I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I shall give you a heart of flesh. I shall give you a heart of the want to be obedient, the want to do according to what my Torah says. I'm so thankful that he gave us that heart, us, me, and everyone in here, to go back and say, look, we was wrong. We want to do exactly what your word says. And put my spirit within you, and I shall give you, and I shall cause you to walk in my laws. I'm going to put my spirit within you. Not only am I going to give you the want to, I'm going to give you the power to. I'm going to give you the power to be obedient. And I shall cause you to walk in my laws and guard my right rulings, and you shall do them. Hallelujah. So thankful for that heart that he gave us, that new heart. Yeshua preaches on the Sabbath, Luke 4:16-30. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And according to his practice, he went into the congregation on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. So this was a reoccurring thing to him. He kept the Sabbath. It said according to his practice, every Shabbat he was there in their congregation. And the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu was handed to him. The prophet Isaiah, the scroll was handed to him. And having unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written. His timing was just on point. He was led continually by the Spirit. It was just no coincidence that this reading was handed to him. He was about to claim something to them, right? He was about to prophesy that, hey, this is me. I am the Messiah. This is me right here. It said this in the scroll, he found a place where it was written, the Spirit of Yah is upon me because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. The good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody ever been brokenhearted? He was sent to heal that. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives. Listen, we was bound by sin. We was enslaved to sin. We was captive. But he was sent to release us and recover of sight to the blind, To send away crushed ones with a release. That's a powerful, powerful statement. Powerful verse right there. What he was sent for. He's telling them, hey, this is me. I'm here. This is what I was sent to do. To proclaim the acceptable year of Yah. And having rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the congregation were fixed upon him. Can you imagine reading something and then you go back and sit down and everybody turns around and look at you? Like, who do you think you are? You might have had that happen to you. You might have said something in a setting and then everybody look at you. Who do you think you are? Who gave you the authority to say that? That's what they meant when they all looked at him. Who just gave him the authority to say that? Yosef. This is the son of Yosef, a carpenter's son. And he's proclaiming to be the Messiah. And he began to say to them, today the scripture has been filled in your hearing. And they know what that meant when he said that. And all were bearing witness to him and marveled at the pleasant words that came out of his mouth. And they said, is this not the son of Yosef? Is this not the son of the carpenter? He said to them, no doubt you shall say this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard being done in Kephar, Nahum, do also here in your country. But truly I say to you, many widows were in Yisrael in the days of Eliyahu, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great scarcity of food in all the land. And Eliyahu was sent to none of them, but to Zarephath of Sidon, to a woman, a widow. And many lepers were in Yisrael in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Araman. And all those in the congregation, when they heard this, were filled with wrath. He was angry. And rising up, they drove him out of the city and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built in order to throw him down. But he, passing through the midst of them, went away. They wanted to kill him for what he was saying. He told them, a prophet's not even welcome in his own hometown. The first mention of the Sabbath in the life of Messiah Yeshua is Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his practice, he went into the congregation on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. In this, the gospel's first mention of the Sabbath, at the very beginning of Messiah's ministry, we find that Yeshua's custom, his normal activity, was to go into the synagogue on a Sabbath day. How many years we missed that? Huh? This was not part of our normal activity. He called it normal. This is normal. But being set apart doesn't look normal. It doesn't feel normal sometimes because people look at you funny. You know, you're going to church on a Saturday? Just, you know, was going down to the restaurant the last Saturday, and my oldest brother called me. And he asked me what I was doing. You know, I said, it was his birthday, so I wished to call him to wish him happy birthday. And he said, well, where you come? What you doing? I said, well, we just got out of church. He's like, on a Saturday? Why y'all did that? I said, well, it says that in the scripture. And before you can really get that out, it was, okay. You know, he wants to change the subject so quickly. And people do that. They do that when they don't understand the scripture, when they don't want to take the time to go back and study it out. They don't want to hear it. They just think you're crazy. So, you know, it ended very quickly, our conversation, because he didn't want to hear no more what I had to say. Because it's not normal to them. It's not a normal activity. Was to go into the synagogue on a Sabbath day. This was not an isolated incident. He would later continue to teach in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as we see in Mark 6:2. So this wasn't just a, you know, one Saturday, missed a Saturday, two Saturdays. It was a reoccurring thing. He continued to teach them. And Sabbath having come, he began to teach in the congregation, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did he get all this? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such miracles are done through his hands. I can't get it out in my head about this. This carpenter son is the only thing that they might have been thinking. How can he have these such powerful words of wisdom? Where is he getting it from? I never seen him sit underneath Gamaliel, the teacher that a lot of them that sat under. I never seen him in his settings. How did he get this? And not only that, the miracles that's coming through his hands. Luke 13:10, and he was teaching in one of the congregations on the Sabbath. Continuing in Luke's account, and the roll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and unrolling the book, he found the place where it was written. And that's Luke 4:17-21. And the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu was handed to him. And having unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of Yah is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away crushed ones with a release, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yah." And having rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the congregation were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been filled in your hearing." Yeshua quoted Isaiah 61:1-2, which those in the synagogue recognized as a prophecy of the Messianic age. So they recognized what he was saying, but not him. Anybody but him. He can't be the one. By saying, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears," Yeshua claimed to be fulfilling this prophecy. He proclaimed himself to be the expected Messiah. Yeshua went on to compare his ministry to that of the prophets Elijah and Elisha. His listeners, clearly understanding his meaning, promptly tried to kill Yeshua for his claim. But he escaped from them. And that was verse 23-30. This is the first mention of the Sabbath during his ministry. On that day, Yeshua first proclaimed that he was the prophesied Messiah, introducing his mission as a savior of all humanity. This was a significant event. Nazareth was where he grew up. The people of Nazareth were the first to hear on that Sabbath that he was the Messiah. He pointed to the hope of his future reign, the gospel, or good news, in both its present and future fulfillment. Wow. He pointed to that hope of his future reign, not only then, but now, still to this day. Yeshua heals and casts out demons on the Sabbath. Luke 4:31-39. And he came down to Kephar Nahum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath, still teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his words was with authority. And in the congregation was a man having a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Ha, what have we to do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the set apart one of Elohim. I know who you are." And Yeshua rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him without hurting him. The power in his voice, in his words. And astonishment came on all, and they spoke to each other, saying, "What is this word that with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out?" And the report about him went out into every place of the neighborhood. Jesus heals many. And rising up from the congregation, he went into the house of Shimon. The mother-in-law of Shimon was sick with a severe inflammation, and they asked him concerning her. And standing over her, he rebuked the inflammation, and it left her. And instantly, rising up, she served them. It wasn't, she need give her some juice, give her some soup. You know, she's recovering. It was none of that. Instantly, popped up like nothing ever happened. And she began to serve them. Immediately, Yeshua began to use the Sabbath to proclaim the coming kingdom of Yahweh and to manifest his miraculous power as the Messiah. What did he use it for? To proclaim the coming kingdom and his miraculous power as the Messiah. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching because his word was with authority. Luke 4:31-32. Next, Yeshua ordered a demon out of a man, and those in the synagogue, astonishment came on all. And they spoke with one another, saying, "What word is this that he commands the unclean spirits with authority and power, and they come out?" What word is this? They have heard many, many words, but it was just something about his words. There was power in Yeshua's words, and they was baffled by it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand how this carpenter's son had so much power in his word. Yeshua then went to Peter's house, where he healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. Finally, as the Sabbath day drew to a close, all as many as had sick ones with various diseases brought them to him. And laying hands on each one of them, he healed them. Notice, he laid hands on each one of them. He was not come back tomorrow, you know. I'm tired or none of that. He said that they laid hands on each one of them. Said many. Think about that. They brought many. They didn't bring just two or three. It was many people that they brought. And he healed them. And also demons came out from many, crying out and saying, "You are the Messiah, the Son of Elohim." And rebuking them, he did not allow them to speak, for they knew him to be the Messiah. Verse 38-41. As the Savior, Yeshua understood the purpose of the Sabbath, that it was perfectly appropriate time, that it was a perfectly appropriate time to bring his message of healing, hope, and redemption to humanity, and to live that message through his actions. Not only he just couldn't be someone who said it, he had to live it through his actions. He had to do it. Even the demons recognized that he was the prophesied Messiah. Yeshua used the Sabbath to point people to him as the healer and the savior of mankind. Just what is legalism? Throughout this chapter, references are made to the legalistic approach of religious authorities who accuse Messiah Yeshua of breaking the Sabbath. But what does the term legalism mean? So they was accusing him for breaking it because, you know, you read different accounts. They wasn't washing their hands. The people he taught wasn't washing their hands. Why your taught ones are going through the grain field and eating on the Sabbath. You know, there was just so much legalistic things that they was adding. They was just adding to the Torah, the oral Torah. It was nothing to do with the written Torah. It says a dictionary definition of legalism is a strict, literal, of excessive conformity to the law or to a religious or moral code. That would be the oral. A popular meaning attached to the word today is that any form of biblical law-keeping is legalism and therefore to be avoided. Any form of biblical law-keeping is legalism and therefore to be avoided. Hence, all what we're doing. That's old. That should be done away with. We shouldn't have to be doing that. That should be avoided. But Yeshua knew what the Sabbath was meant for. The word is used pejoratively especially against such practices as keeping the Sabbath or adhering to other laws given in the Old Testament. However, this use of the word is incorrect. It is not legalistic to obey Yahweh's laws correctly. Imagine that. How is it legalistic to obey his laws correctly? To be legalistic is to misuse his laws in a way never intended. And that's exactly what they was doing. They was misusing his laws in a way that the Father never intended for his laws to be used. Pharisees' interpretations undermine Yahweh's law. The Pharisees' interpretations undermine Yahweh's law. The Pharisees, an excessively strict branch of Judaism, whose religious interpretations dominated popular thinking at the time of Messiah, were examples of this. They added many of their humanly devised rules and regulations to Yahweh's laws, which had the effect of misrepresenting and misapplying them. That's why Yeshua came and said that, you know, follow me, that my ways are not burdensome. It says my Torah is not burdensome. But trying to keep the oral laws of the Pharisees, that was burdensome. Their added interpretations of Yahweh's law so distorted the original purpose that they rendered them ineffective. And we see that in Matthew 15:6. It certainly released from respecting his father or mother, so you have nullified the command of Elohim by your tradition, nullifying them. It was telling them, you know, the scripture tells you, you take care of your mom and your dad when they get older. You provide for them. They were saying, oh, just give the money to the church. If you give it to the church, you get a free pass. You don't have to take care of them. That was nullifying the law. That's nullifying the scripture. By following the Pharisees, I think I got an amen from Papa right there. By following the Pharisees' interpretations and edicts, the people were no longer following Yahweh's law. John 7:19. Did not Moshe give you the Torah? Yet not one of you does the Torah. Why do you seek to kill me? Did not Moshe give you the Torah? Yet not one of you does the Torah. Why do you seek to kill me? Hypocrisy. That's what that is, hypocrisy. This mistaking view of Yahweh's law led many to reject Yeshua as the promised Messiah. You seen how the people was being led? That when Yeshua, the Messiah, arrived on the scene, they didn't even realize it was him. From all the laws that the Pharisees and the scribes was making them to believe, they rejected Yeshua as the promised Messiah, even though that very law had prophesied of him. Even though it plainly said it in the scripture. Twist it a little bit, say it long enough and loud enough, you start to believe it. You search the scriptures, John 5:39-40. You search the scriptures because you think you possess everlasting life in them. And these are the ones that bear witness of me. But you do not desire to come to me in order to possess life. Luke 24:44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all have to be filled that were written in the Torah of Moshe and the prophets and the Tehillim concerning me. This is why Messiah so strongly condemned the lack of understanding and hypocrisy of the religious leaders of his time. He taught a return to the correct teaching and practice of Yahweh's laws according to their original intent and purpose, and also that he was the promised Messiah. He taught a return to the correct teaching and practice of Yahweh's laws. Hallelujah. Paul condemned perversion of law. The Apostle Paul, who wrote extensively against those who would pervert the proper use of Yahweh's law, this is particularly apparent in the book of Galatians. And they was up against it in Galatians. They was teaching false doctrine. Like it was just like wildfire up in Galatians. What Paul addressed was not the correct keeping of Yahweh's law, which he himself elsewhere upheld. Romans 3:31, do we then nullify the Torah through the belief? And how you nullify the Torah? You don't obey it. That's how you nullify the Torah. You don't obey it. You don't do what it says. He answers the anchor statement. Remember that? Let it not be. On the contrary, we establish the Torah. So what he was saying is, do we then nullify the Torah through the belief? Simple, no. Do we nullify it? No. Let it not be. Romans 7, 12 through 25. So that the Torah truly is set apart, and the command set apart, and righteous and good. Now this is Shaul, this is Paul. Anti-Torah Paul. So the church says he nullified, Paul abolished the Torah. That don't sound like somebody who's anti-Torah to me. So that the Torah truly is set apart, and the command set apart, and righteous and good. Therefore, has that which is good become debt to me? Let it not be. But the sin, that sin might be manifest, was working debt in me through what is good. So that sin through the command might become an exceedingly great sinner. For we know that the Torah is spiritual. Listen to what he's saying. But I'm fleshly, sold under sin. The Torah is spiritual, but in my flesh, I'm sold under sin. I'm captive to sin. And this is so powerful where he goes with this. For what I work, I know not. For what I work, I know not. For what I wish. He said, I wish to do the Torah. I wish to obey the laws that I do not practice. But what I hate disobedience of the Torah. I hate that what I do. I don't want to do it, but in my flesh, it overcomes me. I do it. But if I do what I do not wish, sin, but if I do what I do not wish, I agree with the Torah that it is good. And now it is no longer I that work it, but the sin dwelling in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, I know that in my flesh is sin. No good dwells in my flesh. For to wish is present with me. What is he wishing? I'm wishing to obey. I want to obey. But to work the good I do not find. For the good that I wish to do, I do not do. But the evil I do not wish to do, this I practice. The evil that I do not wish to do, I don't want to do it, but it happens. I do it. This I practice. If I do that which I do not wish, it is no longer I who work it, but the sin dwelling in me. I find, therefore, this law, that when I wish to do the good, the evil is present with me. When I wish to be obedient. The evil is present. For I delight in the Torah of Elohim according to the inward man. But I see another Torah in my members. Notice that's a little T Torah. He ain't capitalizing that Torah. But I see another Torah in my members, in my flesh, battling against the Torah of my mind, battling against the will. I have the will, the want to. I want to. I have the will to. But it's my flesh and my mind is battling. That will is battling against the Torah of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the Torah of sin, which is in my members. Wow. But listen what he says. And I think this is something we all should say. When you come to this place right here, oh, wretched man that I am wretched. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who shall deliver me from this sin that's warring against my flesh? Thanks to Elohim. Through Yeshua, Messiah, our master. So then, with the mind, I myself truly serve the Torah of Elohim, but with the flesh, the Torah of sin. Think about that. But thanks to Elohim through Yeshua Messiah, our master, so then with the mind, I myself truly serve the Torah. With my mind, I truly want to do what is right, but with the flesh, the Torah of sin. But a claim that justification, the forgiveness, and restoration of a sinner to a state of righteousness could be achieved by circumcision and strict observance of the law. Some false teachers subverted the Galatian churches by wrongly insisting that circumcision and the keeping of the law were sufficient requirements for justification and salvation apart from faith in Messiah Yeshua. So that what they were saying is, we have Moses, we have the Torah, we don't believe in the Messiah. We don't have to believe in the Messiah. But that's, Paul is, no, your thinking is wrong. You got to have both of them. You can't have one without the other, because you are abolishing the law. And that's what they were saying. You know, they was telling them, the only way to be saved, that's what, is that you got to convert to Judaism. That's the only way you can be saved, and you got to be circumcised. That's what they was teaching in Galatia. That's what Paul was up against. Galatians 2:4, but as the false brothers sneakingly brought in, somebody was brought them in, false brothers. What is a false brother? Somebody teaching a false doctrine. Who sneaked in to spy out our freedom, which we have in Messiah Yeshua, in order to enslave us. Galatians 5:10-12. I trust in you, in the Master, that you shall have no other mind. And he who is troubling you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Imagine that. Imagine you're the one sitting in this congregation and you're teaching this false doctrine, and Shaul tells you, I trust in you and the Master that you shall have no other mind, and he who is troubling you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Cool. Whoa. And I, brothers, if I still proclaim circumcision, why am I still persecuted? If I'm preaching that circumcision is all you need, why am I being persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the stake has been set aside. That stumbling block of the stake, that's the cross. That's Yeshua on that cross. He said, then the stumbling block of the stake has been set aside, meaning it's done. All that was for nothing. Galatians 5:12. Oh, that those who disturb you would have cut themselves off. Galatians 6:12-13. As many as wish to make a good show in the flesh, these compel you to be circumcised, only so that they should not be persecuted for the sake of the Messiah. For those who are circumcised do not even watch over the Torah, but they wish to have you circumcised so that they might boast in your flesh. He's dealing with hypocrisy again. For those who are circumcised do not even watch over the Torah, but they wish to have you circumcised so that they might boast in your flesh. Paul condemned this erroneous teaching, noting that obedience to the law had never made eternal life possible. You couldn't just say that we have the Torah, we're obeying the Torah, we have Moshe, but yet we don't believe in the Messiah. Can't have it. Especially after you read, if they were saying that they're Torah keepers, the commandments, but yet we just read in Deuteronomy 18 that listen to the prophet that's going to be coming like Moses. Listen to him, Shema him. That Shema means to listen and to obey. But you're not believing in the Messiah? You're not keeping the Torah. You're abolishing the Torah. Galatians 3:21. Is the Torah then against the promises of Elohim? No. Let it not be. For if a Torah had been given that was able to make alive, truly righteousness would have been by Torah. He made it clear that justification, being made righteous in Yahweh's eyes and thus gaining access to eternal life, is only available through Messiah Yeshua. It's the only way eternal life is available. Not through Moshe, not through y'all keeping the Torah. It's only available through Messiah Yeshua. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not declared right by works of Torah. Knowing that a man is not declared right by works of Torah alone, but through belief in Yeshua Messiah. Even we have believed in Messiah Yeshua in order to be declared right. Notice, how are we declared right? Believing in the Messiah, in Yeshua Messiah, in the Messiah Yeshua, in order to be declared right by belief in Messiah and not by works of Torah alone. Because by works of Torah, no flesh shall be declared right. You see why they say it's so hard to understand, Paul? You know, you really got to take your time and read it and give yourself over to the Spirit to really understand what he's saying. Because this can be confusing if you're just reading through it. But also it can be confusing if you don't go back to the Torah and read the whole thing as a book. If you just want to keep the New Testament, it can be confusing to you. Galatians 3:1-3. O senseless Galatians, who has put you under a spell not to obey the truth? Before whose eyes Yeshua Messiah was clearly portrayed among you as impale. Wow. O senseless Galatians. This only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of Torah or by the hearing of belief? Are you so senseless? Having begun in the Spirit, do you know in the flesh? Listen how he's speaking to them. Calls them senseless. We would use a different word today, you know. Call them stupid. Are y'all that stupid? So I think Paul did it right. Shaul did it right. He used the correct words. Galatians 3:10-11. For as many as are of works of Torah are under the curse. For it has been written, Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all that has been written in the book of the Torah to do them. Curse has been written. It's everyone who does not continue in all that has been written in the book of the Torah to do them. And that no one is declared right by Torah before Elohim is clear. It's clear. The righteous shall live by belief. It's clear before Elohim. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has shut up all mankind under sin, that the promise by belief in Yeshua Messiah might be given to those who believe. Galatians 5:1-4. In the freedom with which Messiah has made you free, stand firm then, and do not again be held with the yoke of slavery. What they was teaching, that those oral laws that they kept adding and adding and adding, that was the yoke of slavery. See, I, Shaul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Messiah shall be of no use to you. And I witness again to every man being circumcised that he is a debtor to do the entire Torah. Now, what he's meaning right here when he says you are a debtor, if you go get circumcised, if you convert to Judaism, you got to keep the whole Torah, which is the written Torah and the oral Torah. That's your yoke of slavery. That's what he's telling them. If you do that, you're going to have to keep the entire Torah. What the Pharisees are teaching, that's what you're going to have to keep. You who are declared right by the Torah have severed yourselves from Messiah. You have fallen from favor. Paul made it clear that forgiveness of sin requires a sacrifice, and even the strictest observance of the law cannot remove the need for that sacrifice. However, the law of Yahweh remains the righteous standard by which all mankind will be judged. The law remains a righteous standard by which all mankind will be judged. James 2:8-12. If you truly accomplish the sovereign law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, being found guilty by the Torah as transgressors. Wow. But if you show partiality, meaning I could love this neighbor, but this one on my right side, man, it's hard for me to love him. You're showing partiality. He says you're committing sin. You're transgressing the law. You're transgressing the Torah. That's what sin is, transgression of the Torah, being found guilty by the Torah as transgressors. For whosoever shall guard all the Torah and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Wow. Not just guilty of one, you're guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the Torah. So speak as so do as those who are to be judged by a Torah of freedom. The Torah is freedom. The law is not annulled or abolished by faith in Messiah. Romans 3:31. Do we then nullify the Torah through the belief? Let it not be. On the contrary, we establish the Torah. Don't nullify it. Obey it. As many falsely believe. Instead, said Paul, the law's proper use is established by faith. When Solomon concluded that the whole duty of man is to fear Yahweh and keep his commandments. The whole duty. Let us hear Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Fear Elohim and guard his commands, for this applies to all mankind. Let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. He expressed the enduring purpose of Yahweh for all mankind. The Apostle John agreed when he concluded that if we love Yahweh, we will keep his commandments. If we love Yahweh, we will keep his commandments. If we love him, we're going to have that want to keep his commandments. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of Elohim, that we guard his commandments, and his commandments are not heavy. They're not heavy. They're easy and light, in freedom and liberty. The woman taken adultery was told by Yeshua to sin no more. John 8:11, and she said, no one, master. And Yeshua said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And we all know that story. They was wanting to stone her. And Brother Chad had brought this to my attention because he was just talking about one of the little things he ran across, how they nullified the Torah by just bringing her. And we're supposed to be the man and the woman. If both of them is caught in adultery, both of them get stoned. But they brought just the man. I mean, just the woman. So they was nullifying the Torah by not bringing both of them. In other words, to uphold Yahweh's law, Yeshua told the rich young man who came to him asking what he could do to have eternal life. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19:17. And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except one, Elohim. But if you wish to enter into life, guard the commandments. These Yeshua's words are so powerful. Why do you call me good? And he was doing some awesome things throughout his teaching. I mean, you're talking about healing, delivering, setting free. But yeah, he said, why do you call me good? Only one. Guard his commandments. And that's it for today. The next one is the biblical examples of legalism. Wow. So who's been enjoying our Sabbath? Who's been enjoying this study? I have really been enjoying this study. To be able to, you know, on the Sabbath, to understand that he is our creator, to serve him as the creator of everything. Because he says, you know, in the scripture that when they was started not worshiping him as the creator and was worshiping the things he created is when he turned them over to their own lust. And then you seen it went crazy. Men started sleeping with men. And it was just that's what you do when you don't follow his Torah, his scriptures, according to the way that he prescribes us to. So thank y'all. So let's stand. Anybody have.